don't have anything by myself.
Thank God.
The point of me standing up here talking is no one came to discuss the Chinese poet Edward or Tianxin. So you still have a chance because no one discussed it. You have a chance to come back next week. Unfortunately, I don't have any extra copies, so you might text me during the week or get a copy off of somebody else. Also, what I'll do is there is a request for more Emily Dickinson. So read some Emily Dickinson and come over and talk to me. This is sad. So Emily Dickinson or the Chinese guide, I brought another poem of his to excite you. It's not mine, it's his, and it's called Poem About a Fish. I like to think of cars as words. It's easy to change the roots of words. Make a U-turn, for example, and you will find an adjective. People bump into each other on the freeway, sometimes creating totally new sentences. If you drive a car into the Pacific, the seawater will know how to refine it. And when you swim out of the car, you will come into me across a poem about fish.
Next up on the list, we've got Driver.
Hello. This is called Enchanting Beauty. And yeah, it's not the best.
€5.
I am not paying you €5. No money as it is, so fuck off.
You have a choice.
No, I don't. Poems are shit. That's the end of it, alright? Okay. The happiness of your heart dispels all emotions of loss and fear. Your beauty enchants my heart in the bliss of awareness of life and all its intricate beauty. From a blue van gently swaying in the morning breeze, and dewdrops that hanging like tears from its village, lightens my heart into the blue joy that calms all hate and distaste of your vile image, transcending disgust and wretched hate of your being once lost unto me. The cheerful cigarette smoke whisks away light from your undying breath, gasping for the love and the joy that waits your slumber. Everlasting in this winter night, transforming into spring in the morn, awakening the beauty inside your heart, inside the sweet anathemas you spoke to me that night, whispering disgust in my ear, and your tender palms grasp my wretched heart, blacken it with your fire, a light from your fingertips. My black slumber has been broken by your enchanting beauty, and the misery I once felt has been dashed by your burning fire of light and joy, lifting me into everlasting salvation, and I shall never remember the life I once lived.
Nothing negative about that part, Jaya. It's great, man. Very nice, really. I'm glad I'm not on the other end of it. Next up to the mic, Mellow Day.
Okay, this one is called Construction. I measure myself against the yardstick of time, and each moment carves itself upon it. I look through the trees as if for some form of definition that exists through the soft splatter rain that falls from the leaves and the bird song flight that echoes through the branches. Its own testimony to life. A life that lives and yet does not live. A life that sparkles on the morning wet dew. A life which shimmers through the form of existence. I imagine if I am in London, the whiskey bars and the searching in the chink of ice for some form of meaning. I watch the eyes watch me, each silent history and sacrifice of the whiskey, weaving stories through the smoke and the cough of some old man that has seen the world a thousand times. Each form, defining through reflections that spark through the windows, that shaft of sunlight that scattered imagination like glass and left the pieces scattered on the floor. We pick them up and try to piece together thousands of lives that have gone before us. Lives that make up our lives. Through the form of scattered understanding and a cut of pain, we watch it bleed and turn around. The tribe in Africa holding out a dish in the hope of a bit of money, a bit of food. Our existences intersect through the searching of them. The tribe's eyes both glazed with despair and sparkling with hope. Speaking to us as we make our whiskey-scented sacrifices to the altar of our lives and our histories. Moving silently, the old man and the child seem to merge, to become one another in a search for hope that slips in and then leaves, a hope that touches a ghost-like before its departure in the chink of ice, the motions of our swaying dance, their beat of history drumming out its meaning through the shadow of our intoxication. This one is called Echo 2. I stood at a bus stop with my coat wrapped around me. I counted the people, moving through their lives and through the world, each face different and each face describing its history. I painted these people in my mind, moving through the canvas of life in search for a process of flight, watching the people and the birds above them, moving in slow-mo dance that spins through its own reasons, that molds us like we are clay in the potter's hand. Each motion creating a new form, the forms interchanging through their silent evolution, becoming something, then another thing. We reach out across some river that divides us and say to take our hand. We reach over the water and become one, our hands held, fusing one into the other and the other into one. We move through rising over the earth as our dance reaches heaven. Our motions calling to sing with the birds, to become them, to become us. We move together as one, through the differences that unite us, through the coming to be, the tribe on the knees watches us, her silent testimony to the form through which we oscillate within one another and within her, her face asking questions as she floats somewhere between the past and the present. We exist in the form of a non-existence that advertises us with any program about washing powder. The moves to the distances. This says to be this way, to be as I have defined you. The washing powder ad. The sense of words translated to the will of people we have never met. I reach out to you and you reach out to me. The tribe on the news echoing the form of recognition. A recognition of ourselves. To be. Moving through the sky at some dream-sense moment. The tribe on the news, moving silently across the screens of our awareness. The watching powder ad, a defining to be, a sense through the values of things that you buy in Tesco. Thank you very much. This one is called Image 5. I have a blog called Image. This is the fifth one. The morning stole in to greet me, its song splintering through the curtains like a dream. I move through my own silence, the bird wing beating, the motions that existed through the dance of the rose petals that scatter through the sky, a form of elemental that existed through its own simplicity, that moves through each moment for each petal of memory. I call the dance in my mind that flows through the sky a dream song beginning, the form of each new day and each new life. Life, sparks of its own existence arises to the sky, It forms to declare the thousand histories. The World War I soldier blooded against a razor wire of somebody else's function. The general seeking red wine oblivion as others march to his cause. Examining through office paper sedation forms which he causes and yet is not part of. His faith, making decisions that affect others, not himself, playing life's chess games with comfortable detachment. The form to which history builds its form of fame as a testament to a hurt that it itself didn't feel. The bloodied hand, clutching the razor wire because there is nothing else left. The eyes of a child silently tracking through this covered doors of fame, searching for a reason that blew away on the winds of change yesterday, each moment forming through, each petal a memory. Okay, this is the last one, called Form. Drifting through some sense, I moved within the song of my own silence. I created a form and wrapped it around me. I saw and did not see. The blind man etching his way through history. His came the thousand stories to that which we saw and that which we refused to see. The child picking amongst the rubbish from some Rio slum. Her feet, quick, her sense, the definitions that we cast into the water. The river that flows through each lifetime, counting its infinities on the abacus of time. Each moment directing within and without of itself. Images that float in the sky like red balloons we released as children, watching our dreams sail with them, to another state within which we make stone carvings of our beginnings and moved in, delicately moving through the broken glass of so many parts, each moment creating a play on the universal stage that echoes its meaning through the dampness of mossy branches and brown leaves underfoot, that moves through the basis of its silence, intoxicating us with meanings that we once had, that we released. Bird-like they float in the sky and tickle the sun, each description made through the elemental flickering through which definitions give birth and die, the form through which the landscape echoes its own song, weaving a hymn to itself in the distance.
Thank you, Mel. Next up, we have our very own homegrown Corkonian poet, singer, songwriter, our house musician, Jim Barrett.
This is a song about love, poverty, and one heck of imagination. It's called On a Christmas Tree. For Stephen Hilton. Oh, and we lived in a lodge in the city, and outside the door there grew, oh, a small little hawthorn tree that pleaded to be dressed by you. Oh, and the seasons had stolen its finery, and it stood stark-naked alone. It was gnarled like an arthritic hand, and it stood like a high five of twisted bone. And only you could feel its potential, only you could feel its remorse, and the hawthorn became deferential, and it yielded to your touch like a tamed horse. And how you start to restore its finery with gold baubles and robin red breasts. And when we turned on the back light, oh, it sparkled and smiled when it was dressed. And now everyone who walks down our lane, they all smile when
they see our tree, and the hawthorn from the forest in winter, and it rings like a coquet from French history. Now there's a moral we learn from the story. In the beaten down and oppressed, there are elements of past glory that come to the fore when they're addressed.
Thank you.
And next up to the open mic, we have Patricia Walsh.
This is my life in East Front Street. It's called I'll Never Forgive Me. Never forgive me. I'm still so alone, and nothing arises from my walking days, no guidance. I'm chained, I am generous, overstrained. I know not my own mind, it's all disjointed. There are many questions, hypothesized, each giving what an answer. How do you know me? How can you understand the happy position that goes in nature? I don't drink anymore, I'm going out to smoke. Outside there is danger, so gracious, so cold. Calling all doors open, and paying for drinks, that's all the table. I do not wish, in any big way, that you finally crawl away and back to one to call a poison dish. Let a crystallized spirit lay the table. No offense to you and yours, but let me persist. One here is a poison chalice, and mind, how you look at her, one twist of sweetness. She's off, you've done it. Knowing to remind any one of you how strong and safe she is. If her heart is acting up to such a way, avoid her. Till I will be the limits of law and spirit and behind the line of her sweetness. Thank you. I'm Dr. Carey. I'm rising high against the greenness of a narrow stretch of a river lost between the floorboards, etching finery into one more printed page, and watching it over the gentle catastrophe that was all named that and misses, stampers of youth, England and Holy Wales. I was speaking to the secretaries, hover, back and around and forth into the office, under the soft eye of the American way. A few doors away, loud smile, climb back to the roof. Oh, floorboards! What have I done to you, barren woman, such as you, bring stupidly in my office? Charles don't turn to talk straight. That's true, by command of possibilities and the variable unknown. Memories of the golden dark age make us right, on parchment of our sunburned hands, spirals bought points out into the veins of the fruit of skin. Oh, samplers, words of wisdom fall in the cryptic lines. Our runs of uniform are all comprised. Sages of the moment fall into line at forefront of one's mind, and whoever is a guilty god and a future policy that fits the romance in love and joy. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up we have Sinead Ryan.
Over the ground, their memories split open and exposed by the horror of their demise. Echoes of agony hang in the early morning fog, obliterating forever some night's peace. So that now all future peace once destined for these grounds, forever rent and torn by the ghosts of this ugly genocide. he and I know the words. We told stories only the other could finish. I breathed air, only she could exhale. We hid our words in cipher, shared secrets with whatever else. Shared hands, kisses, smiles and tears. That first day she chose me. She put the keys to the letterbox, the keys of our private world. She wrapped us two separate feet in the cocoon of her golden touch, and we emerged a hybrid butterfly. Even summer days and sunlight, where only she and I shared life. The bruise came from nowhere. It hadn't hurt, and given my zero pain tolerance, that was strange, silly. Of course, I didn't let a little thing like that bother me. Of course not. Why would I? Trying to hurt me. Even when more bruises followed, the gradually constant ache interspersed with occasional darts. Of pain, that is. That made me sit up. But still, really, I'm a tough old bird. Nothing wrong with me. Until the summer's day with an ear infection. Enough pain there to send me running to the dock. Wearing shorts, she spotted bruise. Started the now unending quiz. I stood up and she felt my leg. Lump, fright, quiz, needle, test, I was going to say. Jesus, today the answer. That's said I had cancer.
Next up to the open mic, could we please welcome Mr. Edward O'Dwyer. Soccer matches on the radio with him. This is called 90 Minutes. Far from golden, the silence in there is black. Idle talk that goes nowhere, trying to color it over, not succeeding. Some gaps don't force close. And for those, the radio has been left on, no one really listening. And as chatter skirted awkwardly around the B-word, it was the man just woken from the coma who heard it. And we didn't even know he'd had his senses. Newcastle United 2, Everton 1, was the announcement, it turns out. The current score from St. James's Park on an afternoon of football. Edward will be happy, he whispered, weak as he took his tea. Moments later, falling back into deep sleep. His last words before the man with the whisper blew for the last time.
Called Colossus at that age, and that's a strict rule. I don't correct any work in red pen. I correct it in green biro. Very, very strict rule. And here's why. This is called drawing blood. He has insisted they write only in blue ink and correct their homework and their essays. Always with a red pen. He's had a row with the wife. His team's lost again. Or maybe there isn't enough milk in the fridge or even a cup of tea. Who knows? But as he reads now, he pens the page beneath the misspelled word. leads astroke by a failure to function, ghastly as fresh made wound. He continues reading. I scan down the page, pen poised, at the ready for vulnerable flesh. One old one that I like reading. It's called Deciduous. Tell me, how does it feel? But before you answer, think about that tree. Remember, in the fields behind your house, the one where we used to kiss when our feelings first sprung to bloom, where we took a blunt knife, carved a crude heart together in the young bark, where we inscribed each other's names on the clean inside. If you can see all of this, then maybe you can hear the sound of leaves rustling together in a tender breeze, sharing the rhythm, skin over skin, and sinew for sinew. Keep going. Follow this thought, the vision, the sound. Follow until, ever so suddenly, I'm there with you, waiting in chill silence and shed leaves. And I'll ask you again, how does it feel? Does it feel like winter? Does it feel as though love has been stripped down around your heart? I know. I feel it too.
Who would take them?
But was it a little old lady to afford to pay €2 for a bunch of Tesco?
Seems welcome to them.
Or a guilt-stricken drunk, weaving and wavering his way back to an angry spout, and bearing outstretched and a conciliatory yet on seven drunken daffodils.
Beg your pardon.
Seven golden daffodils. He's welcome to them. Or an innocent little girl, skipping home,
Mommy, look what I found.
I love to think so. May she grow and blossom to a life of flamboyant Valentine roses and fragrant musky anniversary orchids, and she's welcome to them too. Or did the person who took them have no excuse? The person who took my seven golden daffodils, each surgically severed at the base, to become supermodels, serene, tall, and aloof, in a crystal jar. I don't really care who took them, but whoever it was, you're welcome. And may they never bring you a day's bad luck.
Thank you, Jerry. I might know who has those tattoos here, actually. Next up to the mic, could we please welcome Mr. Jack Lyons. Lyons. Thank you, Jack Lyons.
Thank you. I'm just being connected, so this is about music. Penciled highlights to accentuate the 5/8 stubble. A good outlook for the credit notes. The back of the album must have a sepia look, a harmonica moans, cry of the wolf. Barroom stuffed with orange neon glimmers, the converts sit, perched on stools idolizing the magnet, who's steeped in the past in a mojo suit big enough for two people, whose hands, long and bony and dressed in cheap rings, have been born for chords. He calls, he stomps, his foot in rhythm on the floor, he hugs his ass, close to his chest, eyes shut tight, his head rolls, a rusted cotton field littered with brown gasoline barrels. A Chevrolet, once a chariot for Sunday worshippers at the Baptist church. There's a rocking chair on the porch. If you listen, you can hear the crickets. How, 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 how. Got my mojo working. Joking on you. You. This could turn out to be a complete disaster because I've got bad eyesight. I'm wearing Mr. Harrington's glasses. My hands are shaking, and I'm about to read a poem about people who are afflicted with the terrible disease of achondroplasia, and. Most people here might know what it is. What it is, it's dwarfism. And last year, a year before, I saw a documentary on the television about this terrible affliction. And I wrote something about it. And a few weeks ago I explained to people up here that I sent some of my poetry, so-called poetry, off to Full Moon Empty Sports Bag. And I told my wife that they might publish my poetry and they paid very well. And she said, Jesus, where have I heard this before? So then I told my wife that, of course, Pete Doherty gets published in Full Moon Empty Sports Bag. So she brightened up. So they did publish me, but I'm still waiting for the £250 to come through the left box. So the check is in the car. That was about a year ago. Anyway, the light is terrible. Paul, can we do anything?
Yeah.
Oh,
we can.
Paul is my lighting man, by the way. Thanks very much.
Ah!
When will I be treated?
as an equal. Hey, Party, just look at my leg. My head is as large as yours. My head is as small as yours. My head, the average size, my torso, it's round and yours too. My torso is shorter than yours. My torso is average size. But just look at my leg, 16 inches high. When I go to the shopping mall, that is when I buy Levi jeans, figures, why can't Levi make them to my size? There are 34,000 people suffering from androplasia in the United States, a few in Camden Town. 34,000 little fuckers are dwarfs like me. There's a polite medical term to describe our incapabilities. Punctive growth. You're having a laugh. Diminished stature. You couldn't make it up. And the world and its anti keep on staring. Everywhere, even in the most enlightened of environment, there are crude indifferences and prejudices. I feel eyes boring through my back, distant sniggering. In my house, most of the cupboards and bathrooms are reduced level. We have a big androplasia convention every year. Thousands of us turn up, and every one is of us, is equal. After weekend, it's back to the life and the homophobic authority who doesn't have a clue about living your life like a dwarf. I'm a man like anybody else. I can get a horn. Just hear a message. So for you, a little message from the little people of punctured growth and diminished stature. Don't fuck with us. Leave us alone. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. I think you need to get those glasses back to RMX. Participant in the evening, Mr. Seamus Harrington. What's the light here, Seamus? The can of worms have come out now, so.
I know Jack, he's a side agent. Crow. A clever old bird, the wary wild crow. To target both prince of terrestrial cow. For quick then he skills forever unshow. Swift pecking up seeds before each can grow. An encore apiece with smooth solo bow. What a clever bird is that crafty crow. From inky quill tail to taloned big toe, from wherever he's perched high on the bough, its quick zany skills are always on show. Audacious urban slick sarty so low, through milk toppled bottle tops he'll merrily plough. A clever blackbird is that wily crow. She will remain clear of blades while they mow. From lofty nest watch fat rook and lean chow, this is our talent is always on show. One beady gaze to survey where you hoe, one footed eye slyly ogles know how, a clever old bird, a cagey wild crow, for quick zany skills forever on show. Radio repeats. When long waves hiss their noisy worst, and sharks persist with static burst, on the other hand, the medium band, second helping trumps the first. Cold call. Your precious time for a moment or two. Your service provider is currently who? Our latest rendition, because of attrition, we're in a position to offer free minutes and modems to you, and channels as clear as a didgeridoo. untightened. Banging bones, clitter, clatter, twisting tongues, knitters, natter, receding rungs, pitter, patter, laughing lungs, bitter and fatter. Time. I'm just going outside and maybe sometime. We glance at one another in dismay. Nobody speaks. Dry mouthed, I stare at the back door. In moments, our barman returns, rattling his bucket of ice. The last one is a haiku. Tight nylon fishnets, ladders run from the bottom of hairy each hall. Thank you.
Next up we have Felicia Meshach.
It grew. Something grew.
That's amazing.
It's okay. I'm sure I'll be fine. This poem was prompted by looking across the way on Sunday afternoon in Fitzgerald Park and seeing my double, which was a very off-putting sensation, and it's called Parallel Persona. I am sitting across from myself at the cafe patio on the river. Same leg, arm, torso, feet, hands, neck, hair. The facial particulars have been changed to protect the ignorant from the fact that we are all the same. Some can't choke this down or are easily bored, thus variations on theme. This me across the way, she has had the edges worn down, or perhaps never grew them. Those angles of living revealed in what's left when the chisel is pulled away from the marble. She, the other me, so flamboyant in her. It is whispered coyly to the world in rainbow stripes across plain brown groves, and the mock fur collar of her coat, black and white with a bit of ribcage spike, expresses choices this me could never belong. That me, the singular theoretical string, sitting with her back to who? This quantum doppelganger, who mesmerizes me like Narcissus, drinks a glass of water along with her coffee, and smokes a languorous cigarette, trying to preserve, I am sure, a moment in a mirror that is gone as soon as we look.
And next up we have Mr. Eugene Crowley.
Hello. In me, so the one and myself and a friend went to a toy in some Cork by public transport. And it was a short poem explained to the ship. One day in the poem is the teleport in Donegal over the island, which is 12 miles from the Donegal coast. The poem is a short poem. By way of Oswego, by bus to Bundag, by ferry to Tory, a four-room costume, a pepper steak cleaner, and a corridor knocked.
So I'm out with Eugene. Is there anyone else out there that likes that poem? Yes, no, it's about next week. Okay, next week. I wrote this one today. It's called Writer's Junk. And I wrote it in here. An ancient map
shows ancient towns filled with more people than there are here today. When I wonder which park ignores the sea of street posters, those irritating financial regulator ads, having to walk about half shut down until an image appears of Reese Myers, half Langers and arrested. I remember how simple it was to be lucid before the junk arrived. I think I'll replace all these posters with copies of this ancient map. Write to Reese Myers for his take on stardom, alcoholism, and invent a detection device for irritating ads. Before this act of ignorance fades into poster paramnesia, into a drunk and disorderly attempt to confirm a better world of this ancient map. Right, so we're going to have a poetry challenge coming up very shortly. Alright. What's that? Is that a female word? It's something a guy would say.
You would be surprised.
Yeah? So for those of you who haven't been here before, it's just the Maskamara slam.
Yeah.
Okay? So the audience throw out 5 words between them. We take the 5 words, we take 10 minutes, and we write the poem. You must include all those 5 words, as long or as short as you like. And the loudest clap gets a free point. Or a copy of Revival. Up to yourself, yeah? Yeah, but I can get it for 5, you see? Listen, I'm just about to start. It'd be 5 words for them, but if you want to squeeze in, I can squeeze you in.
Yeah.
Okay. Last up before the poetry challenge, Mr. Aaron Lewis.
And though he plays and never suspects,
He doesn't play for the money wins. He don't play for respect. Deals the cards to find the answer. The sacred geometry of chance. The hidden law of a probable outcome. The numbers lead the dance. I know that the spade of the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know the diamonds mean money for this art. But that's not the shape of my heart. He may play the jack of diamonds. He may lay the queen of spades. He may conceal the king in his hands. While the memory of his face. I know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. Know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds mean money for this art. But that's not the shape of my heart. If I told you that I loved you, you may think there's something wrong. I'm not a man with too many faces. The mask I wear is one. And those who speak know nothing, and find out to their cost, like those who curse their luck in too many places, and those who smile at us. I know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds mean money for this art. But that's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape of my heart. He deals the cards as a meditation. And those he plays are never suspect. He doesn't play for the money wins. He doesn't play for respect. He deals the cards to find the answer. Sacred geometry of chance. The hidden law of a probable outcome. The numbers lead us in. Know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. Know that the clubs are weapons of war. And know the diamonds mean money for this heart. But that's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape.